All right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Differently today. Dr. Jill Nashfall did a wonderful article, and in this article she talked about the six living generations. The six living generations. Though certainly there are some similarities, there are also plenty of distinctives. And if you're sitting in this room, trust me, you fit in one of these generations. She starts off with the GI generation. The GI generation from 1901 to 1926. These are wonderful people. Very few of them are left. They grew up before there was refrigerators, before there was electricity. As children, they remember literally no air condition, no refrigeration, absolutely no TV and radio. But they had very high moral standards. Their word was their word. And they believed in civil responsibility, voting. They always voted. They made sure that they got out to the polls. What they did was very important to them, high level of morality. They just got married and stayed married. There was no divorce. There were no single moms unless dad died. That's all they knew. But then there is the next generation. Take a look at this, the next generation. And that is the mature silence from 1927 to 1945. The mature silence, that's my mother-in-law. She's 80 years old. My grandmother, 80. She'll be 80, my grandmother, next year. The mature silence. They also came up at a time when divorce was not so. This is also pre-television. They grew up on radio, and they were avid readers. They got on a job and stayed on it. You didn't retire, you just died. Yeah, right there at the factory, just fell over right there, praise God. Jim's dead, come pick him up. Jim just died on row one, Jim just died. They just stayed there till they died, amen. But then there's the generation that make up the most probably of this room, and that is the boomers, born 1946 to 1964. That's my mom and dad. It's a whole lot of them, some 77 million. All they mothers did was have sex, praise God. Their mom and dad has sex like every day, just no birth control or nothing, just 27 kids. All of them live at home. One mama, one daddy, 30 kids. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And that's when people start getting high. So the boomers don't even remember the 60s. They was high. Look at them. They high now, some of them. They still look high. Look at them. They skipped the whole. They was at Woodstock, just high. All they know, high. There was no AIDS, no disease, just sex and high. So most of them don't even remember their childhood at all. They was high. Amen. Praise God. That's when. And by the way, that's when divorce started happening. Previous to the boomers, people didn't get divorced. That was the first place where divorce started to happen. Then there's the best generation that ever lived, mine's Generation X, born 1965 to 1980. We were the first latchkey kids. Yeah, we got home, wasn't nobody there, just MTV, Nintendo, Atari. Cook you something, mama be home by 6:30. That's all you knew. Most of the time, dad wasn't with mom. It was the first kind of single mom thing going on, or they got divorced. So, you know, we made it happen, and that's why most of us are very responsible and protective over our little sisters and brothers, because we had to cook. Till mama got home, you just did what you had to do. You the one went to the store, and if mom wasn't there, you watched your sister, you watched your brother, so it taught us something. And then, of course, let's skip one for the sake of the message. There's the generation born after 2001, Generation Z, the boomlets. Pray for them. They were born with a phone in their hand, soon as they came out, you just gave them an iPad. They never seen a book, and even their books are on computers. So that's all they know, and we're praying for this Generation Z, the boomlets. But then, as you can see behind me, the place I want to concentrate today, the Word Church is full of millennials, born 1981 to 2000. That's where I want to concentrate. We are an intergenerational church. Please thank God for that. We work hard at it. Intergenerational. I mean, you come here, you have wonderful people that are those from the other generations. Every now and then you'll hear me raise up a hymn, and all the young people just be looking like, what he's singing? I never heard that. You joined our church on Mary, Mary. That's all you know is Mary, Mary, and Ty Tribbett. You don't know nothing about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Jesus, keep me near the cross. How great they are. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. But if we lose that, we lose the essence of the church. At the same time, at the Word Church, there are those that are erudite and aristocratic, and I appreciate that. Business owners, be surprised. Even brothers with braids got master's degrees here. Don't let them fool you. Even brothers with braids got masters here. Very educated church. And so therefore, you'll hear me use words that only three people know what I said sometime to speak to them that kind of have an intellectual acuity, epistemically and cognitively grown or growing in their spirits and minds. Then you'll hear me talk to people that just got off the penitentiary, even a reference to young teenagers. Why? Because the church should reach all. If you go to a church and it's all old people, you can stay if you like, but it'll be over in 10 years. It'll have no flavor, because any church with no young people has no future. I'm amazed when people want to go to a church that looks just like them with no future. Yeah, even as I get older, you'll see, I'll keep a young swag because I want young people to have somewhere to go. Thus, the area of the group I want to talk about today, you ready for my message? These messed up millennials. These messed up millennials. And truth be told, I don't think you're messed up at all. I was just trying to get people to come to church. That's called marketing, amen. But I don't think you're messed up. I think there's a miracle in you. Yeah, I think there's a miracle in you. And Holy Spirit told me in 2017, two areas I'm going to concentrate on. Pastor, is 2016. A leader is always 2 years ahead of his people. Yeah, you can enjoy 16. I'm already in 18. But in 17, men I'm going to concentrate on, the brothers of the Word. I hear God saying brothers, men. Number two, young adults, young adult ministry. This year, what did we pay attention to? And look what happened. The teens, look at the outsiders. Go crazy for them, everybody. Whatever you concentrate on, you'll have impact in that area. We decided teens, our teens are off the chain right now, as you'll see. I want to see our young adults. I can't believe I'm 45 now. When we started the church, I was 31. I was the young adult. Now, some 15 years later, for the first time, I'm thinking young adult ministry. Young adult ministry. Millennials, who are they? How do they think? Why is the Word Church full of them? Why don't most churches have them? How do you minister to them? They aren't what you think. You would think that millennials want the pastor in skinny jeans and cappuccino and the narthex and a rock band. I read more than most people read in their life. I never come unprepared. I read everything you could read on millennials in preparation, and come to find out they don't want what you think they want at church. They're all over social media, so they can tell a fake a million miles away. They know when you're just trying to win them by coming at them to get something from them. They don't come to church for cappuccino. They can go to Starbucks for that. Yeah, they don't come to church for the rock band. They can go to the club for that. When they come to church, they want sacraments. They want sacrifice. They want sincerity. They want the Lord's Supper. Yeah, they can go to a club if they want to jump. They don't come to church to jump. They come to church to hear about Jesus. They come to church to say, help me get myself together. I'm struggling. They don't just want cappuccino, they want Christ. So many churches think you got to win them by having coffee in the narthex and a rock band on the stage. Now, they like fly service. They like screens on the wall. They got iPads in their hand. They don't want ancient, antiquated church. Now, they like the pastor to have a little swag to him and speak to them, but they don't come for cappuccino and rock bands and skinny jeans. They come to hear about Christ. What millennial could I lift up in the Bible as a kind of heuristic device or motto? Well, there are no millennials in the Bible. When that precious Palestinian Jew named Jesus walked the earth, there were no millennials. So I had to lift up one that was the closest thing I can find. Turn your Bibles to Luke 15 right quick and notice not a person up here got a Bible. Yeah, yeah. Lean on somebody and say, even grandma got an iPad, even grandma. Grandma used to cook. Now she's talking about, girl, wait a minute, I'm posting something. He's like, grandma, can we get some cornbread? Grandma posting Willie. She's trying to hook up with Willie. Okay. Luke 15, verse 11 and 12. Let's start there. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his daddy, give me my stuff. Give me my part of the estate. Give me my part of the money that you're going to leave us. Give it to me now. So the father divided unto him his wealth. He gave it to him. If you've been here 5 minutes, you know this, but trust me, you're going to hear this story like you've never heard it in your life. If you just give me about 27 minutes, everybody in here will say, wow, I thought I knew that story of no other in the Bible. A brother says to his daddy, give me my stuff. Couple things wrong. We already know this. He is not, look at me, the oldest child. The oldest child was the one that got his money first. The rest of the money was equally divided between the siblings. So he's not the oldest. Secondly, you didn't get the money until your father died. You've heard me say this, but it's true. In essence, he is saying to his father, it's taking you too long to die. Daddy, you in good shape. You been to live to 90. I'll be 40 waiting on you to die. Give me my money now. Let me roll out. What is this context? They thought back then that God wouldn't take you back. They were still in that ancient Judaism and unforgiveness and God that doesn't forgive. And Jesus trying to kick knowledge, so he uses a parable. This brother never even existed. He's a figment of Jesus' imagination. Jesus is an illustrative theologian. He tells stories so good you forget it's a story. Most people I know think the prodigal son was a real person. He never existed. Jesus was just a cold-blooded illustrative storytelling theologian. He says a certain man had two sons. He had just talked about a lost sheep, and then he had talked about a lost coin. Now he talks about a lost son. And he says, a certain man, put it on the screen, verse 11, had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me. Okay, you're taking notes. It's better to have a long pencil than a short memory. The first thing that jumps out of this text, they say this about you millennials, they say this about you, is a lack of civility. Civility. I'm old school. I like words like civility. It's just a $2 word that means to be polite. Thank you, please, ma'am, sir. I believe in that. I believe in chivalry and I believe in civility. When I take my girl out to this day, I open the door after 20 years of marriage. I still walk around to her side. I pull her chair out. I let her order first. I take the check. She never sees it. Why? I'm old school that way. I believe in chivalry and I believe in civility. Hey, millennials, they say that you've lost civility, that yes, ma'am, yes, sir, is not in your vocabulary, that, you know, you grew up in an age where everything was given to you. They're saying that if you're not careful, you'll be the first black millennials, the first generation since slavery to do worse than your parents. Every generation since slavery has progressed. They're saying this generation, if not careful, will make less money than your mama. Because your mother from Generation X, she had to go kill it. She didn't open up a business. She's saving her money. She's learned some stuff. But because you were given everything, they're saying if we're not careful, you'll be the first generation since slavery to do worse than your mama them. Yeah, I come against that in Jesus' name. I say you're going from glory to glory and faith to faith. Let me hurry up. Look at me. Give me. He could have said, can we talk about the estate? Sir, when you have a moment, I don't want to disrespect your dad, but, you know, you're in great shape. I'm not like my brother them. I got big vision. I like to leave now. I don't want to dishonor you, so can we discuss maybe me getting my portion earlier? That would have been civility, but no, he has a lack of civility. Give me. You know, there are young people on my staff that work in the office with me in their 30s. young brothers that are around me helping me go from campus to campus. I always have young people around me teaching them how I think. That's important to me. So I keep a couple young brothers back there teaching them the ethos of this ministry, the thinking, the culture, my heart. And when they do something for me, I say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Younger than me, but I call them ma'am and sir. I'm hoping they'll catch it and think, if he can call me ma'am, and I'm younger than his wife, then surely when I talk to somebody older than me, I want you to be new school with old school swag. I want you to be new school. Don't be old acting. No, I like the young flavor that you bring. Dress how you dress. Don't dress like nobody 50. You 30. Do you? Be respectful. I like that swag in our church. If that offends somebody, you're at the wrong church. We want young people. I don't want all old people. I know they give better. I know they bring a maturity here. But we need some young people. But do me a favor. When you're talking to somebody old enough to be your parent, yes, sir. And it doesn't have to be your mother. Yes, ma'am, do me a favor. If my kids forget to say yes, sir, to you, please let me know so I can throw a shoe at them and call child services myself. Civility, a lack of civility. Here's what he says. He says, give me my portion now. The daddy, in essence, says, if you bad enough to ask, I'm bad enough to give it to you. Lean on somebody and say, be careful what you ask God for. Go ahead. I wish... Oh, somebody downtown, be careful what you ask God for. There's some stuff God didn't want you to have, but he said, if you keep asking me for it, I'm going to release you to 10 years of craziness. I don't want you to have it. Be careful what you ask God for. People walk up to me every week and say, Pastor, I like this guy. I say, what church you go to? Well, not here, not nowhere, but he liked God in his own way. I'm like, don't do that. The next week, she go do that. I'll be thinking, why did she get in my line in the first place? Praise God. God will let you do whatever you want to do. He won't stop you. He won't stop you. If this is what you want to do, he's thinking to himself, son, if I was you, I wouldn't leave right now. You're not prepared yet. It's going to hurt you. But if you're asking me for it, I'm going to release it to you and let life teach you. I'd rather teach you, but if you want life to teach you, son, I'm going to release you. God allow some of us to go through what we had to go through, to learn what we had to learn, because not only do I see a lack of civility, but secondly, I see his crazy period. Ooh, just about everybody in this room has had a crazy period. I don't like the way y'all looking at me. Most people in the Word Church had a crazy period. Most baby boomers had a crazy period. Most mature silence, most GI generations, most people I know, and even many of these millennials, because one of the things the millennials taught me, because we have a focus group, I'm bringing young adults together right now to learn how they think before we crank up in 2017. You want to be a part of that focus group? Let one of our elders know, Elder Reno, Elder Willie, Elder Raheem. Let somebody know that you want to be a part of that focus group. And one of the things I found out is that millennials aren't the same age. Some are 35, some 18. That's a whole different thing going on. Some, the world is their oyster. Some been divorced already. Some are single mamas. Some got more people on their slept with resume than they want to. Yeah, many millennials already done kicked it and had a crazy period. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Look at the Bible, because verse 13 says, let's make sure I'm right. Verse 13 says, and a few days later, the younger son packed all his gear and said, I'm about to roll out. What did he do? He goes to a distant land. The Bible says, there he wasted his money on wild living. Yeah, I'm sorry, you grew up on King James. These millennials, I'm their first pastor, or the first one they paid attention to. So they grew up on NASB, NLT, but all of you that grew up on King James, Pastor, how come we don't use King James? Real simple. Do you tell your kids, wilt thou come downstairs? So why have a Bible like that if you don't talk like that? King James does say this, though. You remember, he went into a far country and wasted his substance on what? Riotous living. A far country. Bible don't tell me how far he went. Doesn't tell me how many inches, feet, kilometers, yards, and miles he went. I don't know if he went down to Columbus, kicked it at some strip clubs. I don't know if he went down to Cincinnati, took a plane, you know, a little Southwest special, went out to Vegas, hit a few casinos, got a few hookers. I don't know. Bible don't tell me how far he went. lean on somebody and say, any place away from God is too far. Go ahead. That's the wrong person. Is there anybody that has gotten old enough? Somebody downtown, somebody at East. Is there anybody that knows whenever you get away from God's word, God's will, and God's way, put somebody and say, I went too far. I went too far. I went too far. He wasted, King James, his substance on rioters. He wasted his substance. Wait a minute, substance. Remember this? 2-3 months ago, substance. Two different Greek words, substance. Substance. He wasted his money, his dough. He wasted what his daddy gave him. External, outer stuff, creature comforts. He wasted that. Faith, Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for. Got to be two different substances in the Greek. Come here, everybody. Come here. Two different substances. One outside, one inside. Faith is the stuff that keeps you when you're about to lose your mind. Faith is the substance. Wait a minute. He wasted his substance. Another Greek word, money. When you leave God, you lose stuff on the outside and the inside. I wish I had some real people. Is there any millennial here that can be a witness that you wasted some stuff? Some older people, when you leave God, not only will you lose money, but you'll lose years. You'll lose a sense of self. One wrong brother turning you out can change your whole view of self. You ever seen a girl that's fine, that's with an ugly cat? And not just ugly on the outside, really no good, but because he was able to do something right in the bed and say some right stuff, she lost a sense of self and substance and gave somebody 3-4 years of her life that didn't deserve it. There's at least 10 real people here that not only lost money, lost good credit, stayed in apartments, but you lost a sense of who you were. The Bible says he kicked it. Guess what he went through? Everybody here that's grown, for the most part, most people at the Word Church downtown and East, has had what I call the crazy period. You don't have to raise your hand. You looking at me now. I'm sorry. Push somebody next to you. Say, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Go ahead. No, push somebody else. Say, I can't tell you everything about me. Go ahead. Say, some of it I gotta keep it on the low because you will look at me different. You won't be able to get it out your head. You'll see me. I'm sorry. Push the person in front of you. Say, I don't look like what I've been through. Go ahead. I wish I had some real people in this church that would thank God that you survived the crazy periods of your life and you are still here. Don't you look at me like you've been saved, sanctified, and Kentucky fried all your life. Slap 3 people, say, I was crazy for a minute. But the reason why I'm teaching millennials is because I'm trying to get millennials to skip the crazy period. I'm trying to get you to skip it. You don't always have to come back to Jesus. Never leave him. Most people in our church are coming back. They're coming back. I love them. They're coming back, and they're back, and they're coming back, and they're going forward. But I want the never left crew. I'm trying to get some millennials the reason, and shame on any pastor. How many of you wish you would have met me when you were 17 years old? Throw your hand up. How many of you wish you would have came to a church like this that was kicking relevant truth? Because the crazy period, look at him. Oh, come on, baby boomers. Come on, baby boomers. Baby boomers. He's in the club doing a monorail. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, okay, Generation X, y'all ain't fooling me, Generation X. I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, millennials, wobble, baby, wobble. Hey, fat girl, big, what a big girl, once you wind it up, hey, big girl. Get in there. Slap somebody and say, I love my pastor. I don't care what you think about him. I love my church. I love Jesus. I go to the right church. Stand up and sit back down and say, preach, pastor, preach. Look. During the crazy period is not cute. It was the crazy period. It was the crazy period where you say, you know what? Of course I'm asleep with somebody. Because, hey, I don't know no versions, but be careful, because if you try something, you might like it. Yeah, it was a crazy period where you were smoking that weed and said, let me just lace a little crack with it, because they say put a little crack in there, just takes you to a different place, and some people have been on crack ever since. It was the crazy period, girl, where you said, you know what? I'm not even attracted to girls, but let me just kiss one, because everybody else do. You wasn't even a lesbian, but you kissed one. Be careful what you do. You might like it. People kill me talking about what you won't like. I don't trust my flesh at all. My flesh has nothing good in it. My flesh is decrepit and nasty. He renewed my mind. He saved my soul. But in my flesh dwells nothing good. Be careful with the crazy period, because you may do menage a trois, and then one person can't ever satisfy you no more. Because you hit three chicks in the same night, so now one is boring. Be careful with porn, because some stuff you Google, your wife can't do. So you'll find that the crazy period has a whole lot of people messed up. The crazy period is where you bought some stuff you wish you wouldn't have bought. Stay some places. I'm not here to beat nobody up. I'm here to help you get up, Pastor, but you taking me back down memory lane. That's okay. I'm going to sacrifice you to save some millennials in here. Is there anybody that are thinking to yourself, you're describing me, Pastor, but preach to my kids, preach to my grandkids, preach to my niece, preach to my little sister. There's nothing cute about the crazy period. There's nothing cute. There's nothing cute because with the crazy period comes consequences. you'll survive it. He'll save you. He'll restore you, but you will pay. You will pay. I got a lot of people in my church that think God still hate them because they paying. I have to convince them that God will forgive you and let you pay for what you did at the same time. He'll forgive you. I know, brother, never forget a brother told me, I'm trying the best I can, man. I'm here every weekend. I'm tithing. I'm trying to love my wife. I said, brother, loving Jesus does not get rid of child support. Until they all turn 18, you'll pay. Can y'all handle this? Look at me downtown. Look at me at East. The consequences of the crazy period is that there'll be some casualties and some collateral damage. Ooh, I'm preaching much better than y'all responding. When you come out, I'll never forget. I just told the Akron campus. I said it this morning. I said it last night at Saturday service. Those watching me all across the world, I said that I'll never forget when we first started our church. I'm talking about young brothers on fire. I've always attracted men, and I thank God for that. Women are coming to church. You've been faithful, but we like 60-40 men, which is unheard of. They say the hardest man in the world to get to come to church is between 18 and 35. Our church full of them. Praise God. I love that. But when I first started our church, you know, it was just a couple of us and all these young brothers. God was sending me radical brothers that didn't know nothing about church. I was attracting brothers straight out of stuff. I mean, some educated, some uneducated, some penitentiary, but some business world, but not from church. So they running up to me, man, I want to help you. I said, come on. So we flipping chairs, and many of you were here when we used to set up every weekend, and it was rough the first couple of years getting it done. Set up the nursery. Set up the sanctuary. Take every speaker down. I mean, like you do at East right now. That's what I love about my East campus. You just keep fighting for me inside Shaw High School. All the other campuses, you know, we don't have to do that no more, but all that setting up, breaking down. And so brothers in love, they didn't remarry a beautiful girl at our church. Look at me. I'm talking about in Christ. I'm talking about raising their kids, wife pregnant. He's a new man. He's changed. And I get through preaching, right? I'm preaching, feeling all good. I come down and hug everybody, and Shaw Christian walk up to me. My name is Shaw Christian, and your elder got a baby by me, and I don't know how he get to serve you. Talking about he with Jesus. He the devil. How the devil gonna be with Jesus? You need to tell him. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Which one, baby? Which? Oh, Jesus. He on staff. Oh, Jesus. It's funny. You say, Pastor, that's the crazy baby's mama. Lean on her brother and say, you drove her crazy. Go ahead. Y'all missed that. See, the thing about the crazy period is that you left some casualties. Yeah, there's some women you slept with one night or for 2 weeks that you don't even remember, but she died that night. She died emotionally. She died, and because she hasn't made it to the Word Church, she hasn't been